Conjugast, the podcast that you never made a deal with. We're also the show that didn't make the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, even if you round down, but we do provide an Asian perspective into the galaxy far, far away. I'm your host, Bria, and with me are my co-hosts, Brian and Jay.
Hello.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're talking about how Asian representation is portrayed on the page. You know, a nice and light topic for your July. So anyway, sit back and enjoy the Conjugast. And before we get any further, we have a guest again this month. Everyone say hi to Kate from Book Wars Pod.
Hi, Kate.
Yay.
Hello.
Hi.
Do you want to introduce yourself and say a little bit about you, Kate?
Sure. Hi, I'm Kate. I'm one of the co-hosts of the Book Wars Pod, which, if any of you listen to that, it is significantly more sweary than this one, so I'm going to do my best to... not say the F word 5 times a second.
We get one per show, so make it count.
Noted.
Yes, we already said that you get to have the one F bomb this show if we have one. So congratulations.
You guys are so nice to me.
We try.
So yeah, I read books, so I'm here now talking about books.
Awesome. Okay, so I have some good news for you guys. For the first time ever, And Then There's This is actually a good thing, and all we have is a good thing.
That is shocking.
Yay! Right? Because Sandra Oh is now the first Asian woman nominated for a lead actress Emmy for her work on Killing Eve.
Woo!
And number one, how the heck did it take this long? And number two, I hope she wins.
I mean, technically, yeah, I think that could be the most. Bad thing.
I'm not familiar with the show, but I just did not realize that it had taken this long for this nomination to happen.
Yeah, I'm legitimately shocked as well. I could have sworn there was someone somewhere, but apparently I was wrong.
Yeah, I saw some quote from someone about how it's hard to get the nominations if the roles aren't there. And when you think about it, there aren't a ton of leading roles where you see Asian women in them. So it kind of makes sense, but also it still sort of sucks.
Because I guess it becomes a self-reinforcing thing, right? Because then you want to hire Emmy-nominated people, and then it keeps going and going and going.
Yep, a little.
Exactly.
Little perpetual
Kate, were you
going to
say something
there
earlier? Did I cut you off by accident?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, cool. So yeah. Our first, hopefully not our last, And Then There's This. That's a good thing. So with that, we're going to dive right into our discussion topic. We were trying to figure out what character we wanted to talk about this month. And we sort of stumbled onto the idea of not doing a character episode or character spotlight episode, but instead going back to something we did a couple months ago and talking a bit more broadly about a topic. So today, what we're going to do is talk about how diverse representation, specifically Asian representation, is portrayed on the page. So we're looking at books and comics, and I think my show notes sort of have Sabine involved a little bit, even though she's not actually on the page, but it's allowed because I said so. So obviously, it's kind of a crazy topic. Let's start with the line that people say that we all hate so much. There's no Asia in space.
Somebody please use the one allowable F-bomb here.
Yeah. I think that all of us would like to burn that in a fire.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I would very much like to burn that in a fire, and I will backhand anyone who ever says it in front of me. So there.
Would you like to expand a little bit on why it's not a good thing to say, Brian?
Well, no shit, there's no Asia in space, there's no Europe in space, there's no Australia in space, there's no North America in space, there's none of that shit in space, so why apply it here, you... I'm leaving the F-bomb to our guest.
We have literally named one of our episodes, There's Also No Space Europe, so... yes.
Every time I hear that line, I just assume bad faith on the person I'm talking to, and it's hard to read anything but bad faith, because we, like Brian just said, there's no Europe in space, there's no America in space, and so the only reason you're bringing that up is to delegitimize conversation about diversity in Star Wars anything.
I feel like it's totally fair to just automatically assume that is a bad faith argument.
Absolutely. And the way that people cling to it just drives me insane. They just are really adamant about it.
Yeah, especially because, well, for, again, Asians, for people who are Hispanic, there's no other, well, we're going to get into this a little bit more, but there's no broadly accepted other way to refer to someone as being part of that ethnicity. So, like, if you're Caucasian, you're white, African-American, you can say black, and people get the point. But, like, how else are we supposed to say, you know, Asian, except, hey, look, Afro's Asian. And then people go, there's no Asian space. So it's,
right. All we have are geographical terms, and we understand there's no Asia in space, but there are people of real life Asian background, or there are characters who look like they would be played by people of real life Asian background, but that's really long and doesn't fit in a tweet easily, so we're going to say Asian.
Because yes. The shorthand is easy and understandable.
There are, in fact, ways to indicate of, you know, someone being Asian, but they are not socially acceptable and you should not say them.
Especially if you are, I mean, you should not say them in general, but especially if you are not a person who identifies as Asian.
Yes.
Yes.
Because exactly. We're not carpets.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went the more appropriate one way that I did. I was going with a color.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Ah, well.
But seriously, though,
we're not carpets. We're not colors.
But when someone says, oh, hey, this character is Asian, that is a shorthand. We all know what that means. So stop. For the love of God, stop with the bad faith arguments when we say that.
Yep. And I will say that usually, so obviously here on the ConjuCast, especially given that we have, you know, Jay as one of our co-hosts, we're talking about Asian representation in regards to the entire continent. But also, I think that most people get that a lot of us have a bad habit of saying Asian when we mean East Asian. So then people especially have no reason to go, oh, to all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, okay. I wanted to start us out with a couple of examples from the books within the universe that we have. It's pretty obvious to see that characters like Rose and Paige and Aiden are Asian. It's not as easy when all you have to go on are either drawings that can vary from artist to artist or just physical description. So the first book that came to mind was Claudia Gray's Bloodline. Ty Lynn and then Curry Sindian are both Asian, according to Claudia Gray's Pinterest board that she did with castings. And then Greer, because for some reason, up until now, I totally forgot about Greer. She's Indian in Claudia Gray's mind. Another example that we have would be Cardinal in Phasma, which, yes, we got a visual representation, but Delilah also posted her head casting for the characters. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a Hapa actor. Semirana in Inferno Squad is East Asian. And then so for all of these, there were different ways that they sort of portrayed how the character is Asian. So again, for Ty Lynn and Carice, and then for Greer, there were castings that Claudia did. And then also, I just wanted to point out something I remembered a while ago is I did a really super unscientific poll on my Twitter asking if people who realized that first Ty Lynn and then Carice were Asian before they saw Claudia Gray's casting. So for Ty Lynn, it was 70% based upon the text alone. And for Carice, it was 30%, which I think had to do with their names, but I can't necessarily prove that. And then for Sen, there's a description of her eyes with the epicanthic fold. And then even when there are visuals, people tend to be a little obtuse. Whereas with Aphra, clearly Asian from that first cover, people still debate whether or not she's white. And like I said, we're going to talk about Sabine a little bit. There was a visual, but she's Asian mixed, still had that conversation. So that was a lot of me talking. Do you guys have any general commentary on any of all that I just mentioned?
I would say that this stuff is really hard, like especially if you're trying to be sensitive and how to describe a character without going to either like a racial inappropriate caricature or using a real life term, like it's really difficult. Thailand Gar, I guess we had the combination of his name and some of the Gatalentan social conventions that Claudia made up, you know, around tea culture and clothing, which might just be borrowed, but you might also get a hint of the character based on that. But I also did not realize Curry's was supposed to be Asian, and I don't know how an author would have pulled that off more easily than that.
Yeah.
So and this is interesting for me because I did read Curry's as Asian on the first go, and maybe it's because I am more sensitive to this stuff when I'm reading. I think Claudia's head casting for Carice was Jamie Chung, and you know, who is someone who, you know, vaguely looks like me, right? And Carice's skin tone, I believe Claudia described it as being golden. I was like, yes, that is the key word. Got it. Check.
That's totally what gave it away for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very like
that
much
exact
same
word.
Yep.
Oh, and her hair, like.
Yes.
She was like black and shiny. And I was like, oh, like you're portraying this pretty well. But I think it's interesting that both you and I picked up on it. Whereas actually, hey, Brian, did you pick up on it?
I did. Yes. I did pick on it before the fan casting, but that was something I was attuned into and did spot that on the first read.
Yeah. What about Greer? Do you guys think that people got Greer was Indian before Claudia was like, yo, she's Priyanka Chopra?
I picked up not white, but I didn't place Indian, and that's more on me than anyone else.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I didn't pick up any specific cues that said Indian, but definitely, you know, not white, and I got, you know, the skin and hair color and all that stuff. But I think it's very interesting about how I missed Carice, but you two got the cues, and it might be, something about familiarity or headspace or something. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah. What about Cardinal? Because I know I completely missed it until Delilah was like, you know, I cast him as a Hapa actor, right? And then I think I flailed at her for about 5 minutes straight.
Yeah, that went completely over my head. I actually, I was talking to Chris, my podcast co-host, about this because I was looking at the show notes and I was like, did you know Cardinal was Asian? And he's just like, yeah, I mean, have you seen the poster for... And I was like, no. And immediately Googled and I was like, eh. So, you know, this is me being a bad person and not looking at all the art.
Well, I saw the poster and it still went over my head. So score one for Chris.
Seriously.
Yeah. Actually, Brian, I know we only have you for another couple minutes because your work sucks. So is there anything about any of all this that you want to say before?
It's weird for me to go to this angle, but I want to talk about fan casting and why I appreciate it. A lot of authors who post fan casts get frowned upon, but I really like it because it removes all the ambiguity that might be in the text. Like, if an author says they had this actor in mind for this character, yeah. Ambiguity's out at that point. So I really appreciate both Claudia Gray and Delilah Dawson posting who they had in their heads when they were creating these characters.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So actually talking about that, so obviously people are always going to be obtuse. Like, I think we've figured that out. People want to see white everywhere. We saw this back with the Hunger Games when, despite it literally saying within the text that Rue was black, people saw the movie and wanted to know why she wasn't a sweet little white blonde girl. Like, people are going to be obtuse. So I guess my question here is, when you can't necessarily write in the text that this person is Asian, How much does author or creator intent, how much does that count for if it's not necessarily portrayed 100% clearly on the page?
This is always a tricky question for me, no matter what context it's in, because I'm the kind of person who thinks that an author writes a book, they put it out into the world, it's no longer theirs. It belongs to the reader. And I think a lot of the problem here is obviously the way we've been taught to read in school is that we are assuming a white narrator, we're assuming all white characters because we've been taught from an all white canon. And I think it's people's responsibility to be reading more widely right now if that's something that they care about, and everyone should care about it, but you know, whatever. Just to get themselves out of that mindset, to really assume that these characters are a blank slate. And maybe if that's a place that everyone's starting from, then descriptions of characters' appearances, like the ones Claudia uses, those would be more apparent.
Yeah, fandom reading is a weird thing, because unlike the literature that Kate just referred to, this is more of like a shared community we're all living in. And I think the authors, if they have an insight to share on it, they should, because otherwise people are going to make assumptions based on the default or based on what has been done before. And I just appreciate the fact that the authors are able to shed whatever light they can, even if it's not in the text. I'm glad it's there.
Well, yeah, and even if it is there in the text, well, like Bria said with this Hunger Games reference, it can be blatantly there in the text and people will just gloss over it. So I do appreciate authors kind of pushing back against that and saying, well, no, it's this.
Yeah, I think we saw that a lot with, especially with Aphra, because I literally had, you guys all know this, I have a folder on my desktop called Not White for both Aphra and Sabine, where we had people like Kieran Gillen, we had Heather Antos, we had Pablo Hidalgo and Matt Martin all going, no, Aphra's not white. Like, if she was going to be cast in a movie, it would be an East Asian actress. So I tend to give them a decent amount of credit as far as them saying, hey, this is the intent. Whether or not you would like to accept that is your own problem, but this is how it is.
I really appreciated both Aphra and Sabine when they were put in video games like that Force Arena game, and so they were rendered with high-res 3D models. They were very clearly Asian, and all the people who argued, and I don't see how they could argue that the comics were ambiguous because they weren't, but even if you, for some reason, thought the comics were ambiguous, the video games are pretty clear, and I'm glad that these characters are appearing in other media and being very, very clearly East Asian in those.
And more than that, I was pleasantly surprised when I saw the Sabine doll to go along with the Forces of Destiny shorts. And he is very, very clearly not white. And I was just super happy to see that.
Yeah, there's actual skin tone difference. That's I was very happy to see that as well.
What a concept.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe this. These are the things we get happy about. Like the small things. Oh man.
Just imagine what it would be like if we had these characters when we were kids though.
I honestly can't. I know. That's the thing. Like we had Leia and sort of Padme because none of us were little when Phantom Menace happened. Well, little. I don't even know what it's like to grow up. I just can't even fathom it.
Right, because you always had to imagine yourself as the default white character, whichever one it was. And that's just the way it was. That's just reality for Star Wars.
I'm happy for this younger generation.
Yeah, we've come such a long way.
Oh, me too.
And we have a long way still to go, but glad we're here.
But we've made progress, yeah. And that's great. I mean, there's more progress to be made, but progress has been made.
Yes.
And on that note, I must tap out, but I am glad I got to get in on the There's No Asia in Space rant.
I'm glad we could leave that for you, Brian.
Enjoy the rest of the show, listeners.
In case anyone was wondering, because Brian has to jump off the call, that does mean you get to hear me stumble my way through the closer in a little bit. So get excited for that to be a hot mess.
I'm excited.
Okay, so we've all read Inferno Squad. Or actually, Jay, you'll remember this. Do you remember me texting you when I got to the first physical description of Sen?
Yes, and that was an amazing moment.
Yeah. Kate, I don't think I knew you back then. So what was your take on how on how Christy Golden describes Zen.
So this was an interesting one. For me, it was pretty impossible to get away from the fact that she was Asian. So that was exciting. I go back and forth all the time on people using the epicanthic fold as a shorthand for describing people who are Asian in appearance, because although, you know, it's pretty common for Asians to have one, it's not necessarily a rule. And so, I don't know, it makes me icky.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously, I don't have one.
Yes.
Me and my half-see status. But as far as a way of, because I mean, I freaked the hell out when I realized that Sun was Asian. I'm like, I get two Asian ladies in one book. What did I do? Is it my birthday? But generally speaking, like, how do you feel about that particular thing? As I mean, obviously, it can't be a catch-all descriptor for Asian characters, but how do you feel about it more in a vacuum? I guess that is what I'm trying to ask, as opposed to other descriptors of what eyes could be. I think you know what I'm talking around.
I totally do. I think honestly, we're referring to there's some tweet there going around a while ago that was just like, don't do this, do this instead. And to be perfectly honest with you, I have been kicking that around since I read it, and I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I think for me, I haven't seen anything better.
Yeah, that's my thing as well. Like, there are other ways to describe it, but if you're trying to get this image across for your readers, there's not really anything clearer right now.
Yeah, the problem is, like, it's hard to get an indisputable one that isn't cringy in some way, and this is maybe the least offensive one. The problem in the Star Wars context is it reminds me, in the old EU, there was a near human species called the Epicanthics, and they all happened to be Asian looking.
Oh.
And that, anytime I see mention of the Epicanthic fold in Star Wars, it makes me come think back to that cringy thing. But I am glad we are avoiding making all Asians into aliens. That's at least a step forward.
I had forgotten about that, Jay. I managed to block it from my memory.
Remarkably, it actually came up on Twitter today. Other people were talking about it, and I'm like, well, at least people have remembered what to avoid.
Oh.
Yeah, that crap was before my time. That's horrifying.
Yeah, it's not good. But I mean, actually, that sort of, obviously, not everything was quite that bad, but... Jay, actually, you might remember this. Back when they first announced Rebels, there was that whole conversation on Twitter, or not when they announced Rebels, when they're announcing the characters, about, we were like, is Sabine human? Because we don't trust you right now. Like, we've seen how this goes. We've seen, like, Barriss and Luminara. Is she human or is she an alien? And they're like, no, of course she's human. And I think we all let out this big sigh of relief.
Yeah, because we had that whole era where if you had a slightly different skin tone, that meant you were an alien of some sort. And so we were not sure, because half the prequels, people who were played by non-white actors ended up being turned into aliens. Even Addie Galea got turned into an alien. Mm-hmm. So we did not want to see that again. And we were bracing ourselves to see it again.
Yeah, I am so glad we've come this far. I'm very glad that we're at a state where we can talk about how is a relatively inoffensive way to describe East Asian eyes a good way or a bad way, because we've come so far from the awful race whose name I won't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have enough characters to have a monthly podcast about. Who would have ever thought of that?
I know, right? Oh, and also I just want to add, like, for any listeners that I only have, personally, this is me speaking for myself, I only have a lot of respect and appreciation for Claudia and Christy and Delilah, and the fact that they did, since they're all white women, they all made it a point to try and include more diverse characters and specifically more Asian characters in their books. They weren't trying to just write white as the default. It was, hey, what can I do to broaden this universe? Even if it didn't necessarily get always picked up by other readers of the text.
Totally. Yeah. Sorry, Jay, you were talking.
I was just going to say, they consistently use characters of color. And one, I wanted to mention that we didn't we don't have a casting for, because I think Claudia was sadly off Twitter by then. But there was a character from the Princess Leia novel who was completely forgot his name now, but his family was the senator from Coruscant, and he was described as also being brown skin and dark hair, and he could have been an Asian too. I'm really hoping he is, but I'm grateful that even if he's Asian or Hispanic or Middle Eastern or whatever, that Claudia tries and Delilah and Christy all try to make sure their casts are very well rounded.
Wait, the one that Leia is all kissy face with?
No, not Keir, the snobby Coruscant kid, the one I like.
I read this book in like 3 hours at 2 a.m. Hold on. Snobby Coruscant kid. Because she cast some of them. I know that. Like, I know that there was an official casting for Kissy Face Boy. Ooh, hold on.
Stevis. There we go. Yes.
Hmm.
I don't recall one for him.
No, I don't see one on there.
Yeah, darn. Chastelon Stevis, that's it.
Keir Domati, that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Who was he fan cast as?
I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. Rami Malek?
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah. I hated the character, but I liked the actor. Ooh. Sorry, in case you guys ever want to go down like a rabbit hole, just look up Claudia Gray's castings for all of her characters, because she picks a lot of very beautiful people and it's very fun.
It'll change the way you visualize the books for the better.
Totally. Also, it's a great rabbit hole to go down at work when I don't want to do work. La, 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 la.
Did you guys see my tweet earlier? So one of my coworkers is reading through Bloodline right now. And it's fun for me because I can be like, by the way, did you know that like Castrofo should be played by Tom Hiddleston? Did you know that Lady Carice is Jamie Chung? And he's like, I did not. But anyways, he came to my door and he knocked on it. He went, excuse me, Lady Carice? Oh, I mean, just Carice. And it was the best thing ever.
Beautiful.
That was the best part of that book.
Jay, you're so on brand.
Listen, I both hate Carice, but I really understand her thinking, and that was just the perfect revenge.
It was. Okay, so sorry, now that I derailed us halfway through the podcast. So I wanted to discuss like what we think is the best way to do this, or as Nancy asks us in a, what she admits is a very self-serving fashion, can you discuss positive, negative ways to describe the appearances of Asian characters in a universe where Earth does not exist, or in a far future where humanity has spread throughout the galaxy? So using Asian as a descriptor wouldn't necessarily make sense.
I really like the golden thing that you guys mentioned earlier with Carice. That did not occur to me at all, but I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, I'm also partial to the Claudia Gray school of thought on this.
Yeah. Do you want to, hold on, actually, let's tackle this a different way, because the way you would describe me and Kate is also not the way you would describe you, Jay.
That's true.
So, for many reasons, one being we're not men who wear cravats everywhere.
Correct.
I say this with love, Jay. You know I say this with love. So let's focus on more like East Asian and Southeast Asian. Like, so we like using the golden skin tone. But clearly, given that it went over a lot of people's heads, that can be a little too subtle. So what are some other ways you guys think can work? Like, in my notes, I have like names, physical descriptions, what Claudia does with her fan casting.
I think names are good. Fan casting is also good. I would hesitate to do anything that involves a cultural representation, especially in like sci-fi, where you know, when folks are saying quote unquote there is no Asian space, well, I mean, there are. We don't want to rely on real life expectations necessarily, because that falls under that cultural appropriation thing that we were so worried about a couple episodes ago. And we don't want to make it so where any other ethnic group can be whatever they want in sci-fi, but Asians always have to be the same way. Like that, I think we want to stay away from that.
I think they've done was Holdo from the same planet as Tylin? Or am I misremembering that?
No, they are.
Okay. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that was a great way to do it, because it shows it's not like an ethnically homogenous planet.
Yeah. Huh. Kate, what do you think?
Cool. I'm inclined to agree with Jay. I think the only thing with fan casting is that while it's authors are increasingly able to actually interact with their readers, obviously because of social media and the interwebs and all of that, not every reader is going to do a deep dive and look at authors' fan casting. And so I really do think this is just like a thing that's been beat into me, like after doing an English major. But I really do think that the text in a lot of ways needs to stand on its own. And while, supplemental material from authors like interviews, Pinterest boards, whatever, all that is fabulous, but not everyone's actually going to seek that out. And if they're in a lot of ways learning about what good representation is through literature, then it needs to just be there.
So what would you consider some other examples then? Help the pod mother out. Because you know why Nancy's asking this.
No, I do know. names are good, definitely. Physical description always, like, it gets so hairy if you're really heavy-handed with it.
Okay, let's try it this way.
Yes.
You have to describe Aphra in a text.
Yes.
How do you do it? I'm putting you on the spot. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not that sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm not at all sorry. Listen, I thought of this topic and I'm like, I'm going to get Kate to come on this to talk about it, because I know she'll have opinions about writing and Asia and characters. So you have to describe Aphra. How do you do it?
Brian's going to have a great time like cutting out this long silence where I'm just like spinning around in a chair trying to think.
Funny that you think Brian edits.
Okay, that's a great point. Well, people are going to have a fun time listening to this long silence where I spin around in a chair trying to think.
Okay, I'm going to let you think on that.
Yes.
Yay, I'm going to put you on the spot now too.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, so obviously Asia, not a monolith. So what do you think are the right ways to go about physically describing characters like, say, Greer or even Aiden or her mother, who are meant to be of Indian descent, but you can't say Indian descent?
So I am actually fairly happy about physical descriptions. Dark hair, medium skin, brown skin, I think all those work well. Dark eyes. Because even though that is fairly ambiguous and, you know, it might not be someone who's South Asian in the Earth sense, I think that's a good enough way to get across that someone is not of a white background and not of an East Asian background even. And anything more specific than that, I think it's a little hairy, and I would not want to get into that.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Kate, we're back to you.
See, those kinds of like just enough detail, like that's my level of just enough detail. Okay. It's like that's, yeah, like again, like you can go into full on description, but then if you're not of that background, I think it's really easy to fall into stereotypes.
Let's talk about the wrong way then. Like what would we like to make, if we have to make a list of what are the wrong ways to describe, to convey that a character is Asian or describe an Asian character? I'm going to start. Almonds. take that out of your damn vocabulary.
Thank you. Yes. So my general rule is any comparisons that you'd be tempted to make to food when it comes to a person's physical appearance, like almonds, their skin is like cinnamon colored, like whatever you want to say. Don't do that. We're not food.
Also, I hate like the coffee colored skin tone because I'm like, okay, it depends on how you take your coffee, number one.
That is so true. Like, that's not specific.
It's very not specific. What are some of the other like really wrong? Actually, you know, I have another one. So I think there's a distinction between referring to someone's skin as being more golden and using the way less elegant and far more racist term of yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something else to keep in mind because, you know, writing, word choice matters.
Right. You can't ignore the real life like context and history of the words you're using.
Yeah, which is why I was going to say, like, other words to avoid when describing people's eyes. Slanted.
Yes. Oh, God.
Just brings me back to, like, fifth grade playground.
Yeah, now I've got that stupid chat the kids used to say in my head.
Yep. Ugh. Funsies. Gross. Moving right
so
along.
Gross. Jay, are there any others that you want to throw on the please don't do this list?
Yeah, don't make fun of accents or voices. And we all know the various stereotypes people have of different Asian cultures and how they speak. Don't put it into your text.
Oh, yeah. When people have to like phonetically like spell out things like to tell me that somebody has an accent, like don't. It's very mocking and I hate it.
Yeah. Or the thing I really enjoy seeing people like Daniel Jose Older call out is italicizing foreign words. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Because we don't know that Buenos Dias is Spanish, apparently. You have to italicize it to make it more other and special. AKA, don't do that. What else? Oh, I think that kind of what Jay, what you were saying before of not dropping a culture in, just like taking one and dropping it in and being like, look, this is that. Because that's also where I run into trouble with the names. Like, I like that it was a little bit easier to tell that Thailand was Asian, but at the same time, I love that I could equally tell that Carice was Asian and she didn't have a quote unquote stereotypical sounding name.
Yeah, because you don't want like a quote unquote space Asia, which is literally using the trappings of a real life culture and just dropping it into Star Wars just to make it seem exotic or something.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think there are ways to do it, but I think with names, you have to. I think Thailand is fine, for example, because it's not necessarily a caricature of like what you would think, for example, like Chinese quote unquote sounds like.
Yeah.
So I think it's just being careful with that kind of thing.
And honestly, now that I think about it with our conversation here, it's really telling me how important like sensitivity readers are, because people who are members of a group will be more sensitive to possible offense or, you know, the historical context that they face that other people won't be in. Just have someone read over your description and make sure it's okay.
Yeah, and don't hide behind a sensitivity reader either. Because we're not all a monolith. So
yeah.
Kate might catch something that will completely fly by me, or I might be irritated by something that Jay misses, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. I think the other question I have, according to the notes, is so how can you... How do you combat people insisting that Asian character is white, even when the page says otherwise? Like, what the heck? Because, okay, so the best example I can come up with is people looking at Salvador Roca's art of Aphra and going, oh yeah, she's white. Like, what? Just, what? Like, I mean, how, yeah.
Go ahead,
there's literally a mountain of evidence for Aphra, and that's like the biggest thing. It's like if it were like a one-off side character in a random panel somewhere, like, okay, you know, have whatever assumptions you want, I guess. Like, it's hard to fight someone. But with Aphra, there's like mountains and mountains of just visual evidence just from the comic, from different scenes, from different covers. And if you know, people are just going to see, if people are seeing what they want to see, that says a lot about them. And just tell them, like, look, I've shown you all this evidence there is. If you're still not seeing it, then I'm sorry, but I don't have to prove it to you, I guess.
Right. I think there's probably a difference between a character like Aphra, like Jay, like you said, there's a whole lot of evidence, and if people are refusing to see it, then they're just refusing to see it. But for other characters who we don't have visuals for them, I mean, we have, for example, Claudia's fan casting and things like that, and that obviously is evidence, but also it's just, I think a question to ask people is like, what makes you read, like, to turn it around on them? Because, like, what makes you read them as white? Like, what's the evidence for that?
And why won't you read it the other way?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I know for Aphras, a lot of people are like, well, her eyes don't look Asian. To which I wanted to say,
oh my God.
Yeah, number one, neither, quote unquote, do mine. Even if you go, oh, but you're mixed race, Bria, I could be like, yeah, but my mom's don't either. Like, my mom is full Chinese, and I would say that her eyes don't look like what people perceive to be the stereotypical, oh, that person's Asian. This is really awkward trying to phrase this in a way that doesn't sound terrible, by the way.
Sorry, my life.
I'll say, like, in case anyone ever goes, oh, I don't really know how to phrase things, please know that we have often the same amount of trouble. Because
yeah, I mean, you just asked me this, like, to physically describe Aphra, and I was like, how do I do this without sounding racist?
Exactly. No, but that's the thing. I mean, and I think, and that's why I give these authors a lot of credit. I mean, obviously, I would love to see an East Asian author have a chance to write about Aphra in the text or something like that. But they're trying. And they're seeing things that work. And so far in the new canon, I haven't seen anything that makes me go, oh no, why did you do that?
Totally agree.
So I think it's just, yeah. So Nancy, to answer your question, shruggy emoji, don't use food. Maybe the epicanthic fold works for some of us. Maybe not everyone. Don't say slanted.
I think the thing is that, like, there's been so few good examples of Asian representation in literature that we're kind of right now having to make it. And that's always a tricky thing, but, you know, we're all figuring it out.
Yeah, and especially gets more complicated in something like Star Wars, where, again, you can't say it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of that many books that prominently, outside of Star Wars, that prominently feature, they're science fiction fantasy, that prominently feature Asian characters where it's not in the future or something like that. Or it's not a blatantly, hey, I'm taking this and putting it in a fantasy world, which Ken Liu can do that. That's okay. but yeah, can you guys really think of any? The only that's coming to mind might be maybe Melinda Lowe's book. Tamora Pierce.
Mm.
Which she kind of did the wholesale, I'm taking this and casually disguising it. But in her defense, she does that for multiple cultures. She's equal opportunity. I'm going to take this Swedish culture. I'm going to take this Japanese culture. And yeah, Jay, can you think of anything?
I mean, it's really hard in the sci-fi fantasy world. I know in the video game sci-fi world, I know that the popular RPG series, The Elder Scrolls, liberally takes from real life cultures and sort of mishmashes them into fantasy. But I wouldn't count them as the best example for Asian cultures, because they basically have an entire culture that's basically a straight up stand in for the Japanese, and they're like samurai snake monsters. So no, not exactly.
Nice. I'm trying to think of ones, because I know I've read ones where specifically it was kind of this case, even if it was set in a familiar setting on Earth, you know, in the present day, the authors just chose not to identify people's ethnicities, and so they were kind of like getting around it in similar ways. But I can't remember what the titles are off the top of my head.
Gosh, Kate, come on.
I know.
I'm sorry. I should be nice after that bad book I made you read.
It was pretty bad.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, I forgive you.
Good. Hey, Jay, do you want to do your art corner?
Sure. So
this is not going to be about dissecting the poster because you thought of something better.
Yes. So I wondered how do I get to the whole character on page thing for this week's art corner? And when I thought back about the old expanded universe, we had this problem a lot. We would have like essential guides and character guides with visual portrayals of all these random EU characters, but everyone would tend to assume most characters that didn't get an explicit like physical description were white humans. And I think nobody was doing it on purpose, like, let's make all characters white humans. But every time they finally gave a character a visual portrait, it just happened to be a white human, and that happened every single time. And it was rare to see examples of characters depicted as Asian unless they were sort of cringeworthy ones. One rare positive example I want to mention is on brand, Grand Admiral Grant. When Star Wars Insider gave visual descriptions of all the Grand Admirals who were not named Thrawn, they had artists, you know, give brand new illustrations of them. And one of them was very, very clearly East Asian. One was black. Most were white humans, but a couple could have passed for Middle Eastern or Hispanic. So for the expanded universe, that was pretty good. But one super rare but really, really positive example was Knights of the Old Republic. The game just hit its 15th anniversary, and they had multiple Asian male and female face options. They had just as many as they had for Hispanic or white or black. And it wasn't just for the players, but all the random NPCs all over the game, some of which were Asian, some of which were black, some of which were Hispanic, and it made humans feel really diverse to an extent that we did not see anywhere else in Star Wars. And I really appreciate Knights of the Republic for doing that.
I'm counting Vesis Mars Asian representation. You can't take her from me.
Sure. I mean, you know, the EU made all the Asians near human anyway, so I think we can count that.
She had an Asian voice actress.
let's do it then.
Yeah. I met her last year while dressed as Vesis. She was very nice. Kelly who? But yeah. Okay. Let's move on to Tell That to Kanji Cast, because we actually have questions that are not about specific characters this week. So get excited. Question one is from Scott. Was there any Asian representation in Solo?
Ooh.
I have no effing idea.
There were some characters in the background that I remember. Being like, oh, hey, Asian chick.
Yeah, were there some in the background at like Dryden Boss's fancy party?
Yeah, I think there may have been the background somewhere there.
Yeah. At Sabacc maybe too.
Mm-hmm.
So not really, Scott. Not any more than we saw in like the prequels is what I would say.
Probably even a lot less, because at least the prequels had a lot of random, you know, Asian Jedi, which, I mean, they're not main characters, but they were still pretty visible and distinctive.
Yeah. Except I'm also going to take away half those points because they did the whole
alien thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Merp.
Oh, this is fun. Okay, I'm going to break John's question out character by character because this will be fun. Are there any aspects of their personalities that you see in yourselves? Aphra.
Archaeology is rad.
Sass monster.
I was going to say, she's me if less, if she was less of a disaster and slightly less gay. I'm a slightly straighter, less disaster version of Aphra. I can't help it. Just, yeah. I've been holding on to that line for a while. I'm so sorry. I probably should not be slightly less gay, and I'm going to get in trouble for it one day.
I love you.
Oh, boy. Okay, Rose.
Doing talking? Yes. Her awkwardness? Absolutely.
I would totally electrocute somebody with that random prod thing.
I think for me, it's what made some people annoyed about the Last Jedi novelization, and it was her rolling her eyes and just being like, will you shut up already, every time Finn went on about Rey? Because I could relate to that, not because, you know, oh, I want to get in Finn's pants, despite the fact that John Boyega is very attractive, but because Rose is like, listen, we have a job to do. Can you stop thinking about this girl, this friend, whoever, and can we just do it already? Like, I can relate to that on a spiritual level.
How did you guys feel about that scene where Finn kept in, like, talking in front of Rose, and then Rose finally said, no, I'm talking, let me explain this plan?
Kate, I'm gonna let you go first.
Yeah. I loved it when she finally broke in, which is like, you need to just please stop talking. Like, that was like, I'm one of those people where it's just like, if somebody else can't do it correctly, you should just do it yourself. So I'm all in.
Yeah, it definitely felt like it was very, especially within the broader context of the film, it was a very deliberate thing. Because I was watching, I was like, Finn, buddy, don't. And then she was like, no. So I appreciated that.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get a little bit weirder with these next two. I don't really know how John decided to pick which characters he did, but Tazu Leech, good to see you.
Do I know who that is?
I can't think of a darn thing with him, but
Kanji cast?
Yeah.
Or the Kanji Club?
Oh, I know. Oh, but
right?
We're both humans.
I pop up when I'm angry at people and scare them.
I would probably correct someone if they also said, you know, that they had screwed me over twice instead of just once. I think that's all I got. John, where did you come up with these? I swear. Okay. Admiral Statura.
Doesn't he have like 3 lines in The Force Awakens?
Take it up with John.
I mean, at least give us Commander Sato, because we had to have a lot of rebels to work with.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
yes.
We're going to start with Satura, and then I'm going to add Sato, because I can.
All right.
I got nothing.
Nothing on Satura.
One big oscillator. It's the way he says oscillator that I appreciate. Yeah, that's all I got. Okay.
I got.
Bonus round. You have to talk about Sato now, because you brought it up, Jay.
His frustration with Ezra. Oh my god, I feel that so hard.
I was going to say the same thing.
And admittedly, also that one Interdictor episode where he's like, he's got this, and then he's like slightly impressed at the end. Okay, he's got this. I can kind of feel that too.
And I was going to say, like Sato, I too would like to slap Ezra Bridger upside the head. I guess I have that in common with Sabine as well.
I relate to Sabine on that so much. Yes. So much.
Sabine's shutting down his flirting in the beginning, too.
Oh, so good.
Very relatable. Okay. So before we sign off, is there anything else you guys want to talk about representation as far as it's in the books or in the comics? Anything? Kate, this is your cue. If you'd like to go on a nice angry rant, you may do so. You haven't even used your 1F-bomb yet, and I feel bad.
Oh my god, yay! I mean, all I want to say is that, you know, we're there. You know, like, we definitely exist, which is great. And there are more and more of us being introduced as actual named characters in Star Wars. And if you don't know how to, like, either read a book or listen to people when they are telling you that they are being represented, please just go fuck yourself. I hate. And there you go.
I would have felt bad if you had come on the show and hadn't gotten to swear at least once, because you're you.
I didn't know if I was allowed to call people asshats, so.
I'll allow it.
All right. Brian's not here. We're doing what we want.
We're in charge now, Phasma. We're in charge. Jay, how about you? Any last thoughts about representation, how to portray it?
Yeah, just that I'm grateful for the people who are trying, and especially those who are of non-Asian extraction, because it's a very awkward thing to do and it's easy to maybe just avoid it. But thank you for trying. And I would love to see more writers of Asian background be able to have a shot at it too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I would say that I agree with all of that, and that obviously there's no one right way to do this. There's no best way to discuss it, because like we said before, what worked for me as a description, as a shorthand about Sen's eyes, didn't quite work as well for Kate. So don't take what we say as like the gospel. But we appreciate, yeah, like I said, like everyone else said, I really appreciate the authors who are trying, who are deliberately making their books more diverse, who aren't just using white as the default. And that I hope we keep seeing more characters like this in the books and in the comics, and that hopefully this conversation will not be one we have to have in 10 years, because someone will come up with an excellent way to describe East Asian characters and we'll go, ah!
Nancy, that could be you.
It could be. Nancy, yeah. Save us. No, hold on. That sounds really awful now that I'm saying it. I should not be telling. We should not be telling as much as we love Nancy. Kate, it's your job to save us.
Oh, man. That's effort.
I know, but it can't be me because I'm only halfsies, so you have to do it.
Oh, come on. But
no. No. Help us, Kate. You're our only hope.
Meow.
Okay. Thank you for joining us. Where can people find you online, Kate?
So you can find the podcast Book Wars Pod. Again, we talk about representation an awful lot. So we're on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram at Book Wars Pod, bookwarspod@gmail.com if you want to slide into our inbox. All of our episodes are on Tashi Station, so you can find all those there. And if you would like to see how much I actually swear in real life when I'm not on Best Behavior, you can find me on Twitter at Lusitania, so that's LU_SITANIA.
Awesome. Okay. Last chance, anyone? Anything else I want to say? Is Brian going to magically appear to say something and or close us out?
No. Sadly, well, I think it's you.
Darn it. All right, guys, get ready for this to be a hot mess. So, conveniently enough, join us for our next episode, where right now we're planning on talking about everyone's favorite disaster. Yes, I'm talking about Dr. Aphra, which, on a related note, if any of you guys, anyone listening to us, is Asian and cosplays as Aphra, please reach out to me on Twitter at Chaos Bria, or email me bria@chaosbria.com, because I want to do something special for that episode. But that aside, don't forget, if you have any questions for us to answer on a future episode or just want to chime in, you can tweet them to us via the Tashi Station account, which now has no underscore. We are very, very proud of that. It's been a crazy week of couple weeks of change for us. All right. I can do this, guys. This episode of the KanjiCast has been brought to you in part by you, our Patreon subscribers. We are part of the Tashi Station Network. You can find us on Twitter at Tashi Station, at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. I probably screwed that up. Jay is at Admiral Jello, and I am at Chaos Bria. On Facebook, we are the Tashi Station Network, even though we basically never use it, but that's okay. You can find us in the Megafeed in the iTunes Store, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can also find all of our columns and news at TashiStation.net. There is no hyphen in that. Please do not go to the Tashi-Station.net anymore. It will go poorly for you. And with all of that said, we'll catch you guys next time. This has been the KanjiCast. I don't remember how it's Brian ends these. So, bye, guys.
Toodles.